Women's Soccer Review Podcast with Dwayne Rollins and Jonathan Tannenwald on the Sports Podcasting Network. Welcome to the Women's Soccer Review Podcast. This week on the show, Jonathan and Dwayne talk to Claire Watkins of Equalizer Soccer about the NWSL draft. This show was recorded on New Year's Eve, so maybe a few things have changed since then, but here's our NWSL draft interview with Claire Watkins of Equalizer Soccer.
A quick interruption here. We recorded this interview a few days before Dana Castellanos signed with Atletico Madrid, but we didn't want to throw out this part of the show, so here it is.
And welcome back to the Women's Soccer Review. Joining us on the line is Claire Watkins of Equalizer Soccer to talk a little bit about the NWSL draft and more about maybe what's not in the draft. Claire, thanks for taking some time today.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
All right, I'll let Jonathan lead this off. Jonathan, it is a bit of a draft that's strange, right?
Well, you know, the NWSL on, what was it, Monday, I believe, put out the first list of players who are in the draft pool. And the first list is, as ever, only the first list. It's not the last list, and these things tend to go down to the wire of who's in the thing. But there are a lot of notable names who are not in the pool yet, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But there are a couple of useful prospects who we know are on the board already. And Claire, what are a couple of names that stand out to you?
Yeah, I think that the ones that immediately stick out to me are Ziara King from NC State. She had a really strong tournament. Also, let's see, who else do we have here? Megan McCool from University of Virginia and Kaya McCullough from UCLA. Both seem pretty strong. Those are strong picks as well. I think, though, I would say that with the list that we're looking at right now, I think some of the stronger names are definitely people I would anticipate being drafted. I'm not sure we have many, if any, first rounders on this list at this point.
Well, it's very interesting to hear. King and McCool, by the way, are local to me. They're from the Philadelphia area, which means I'm going to have something to write about when I get down there, which, of course, makes me happy. There are a lot of names not on here, and we could say not on here yet if we wanted to. By the way, for folks listening, the list is on the NWSL, the NWSL's website. You can go NWSLsoccer.com. It's at the moment, at least, it's right at the top there. You should be able to find it fairly easily. I did a little back of the envelope math, and I count at least 11 names of players who are, they're not all seniors, granted, but college players who people will have heard of, who follow women's soccer any closely, who are not on the board yet. And I'll pick up, let's say, a couple that stand out. Dana Castellanos of Florida State is the biggest one, who I believe is a senior and is might not end up in the NWSL at all. Emily Fox and Brianna Pinto from North Carolina. Ashley Sanchez among many at UCLA. Katarina Macario among many at Stanford. And one of the questions that we all ask at this time of year, Claire, is what does the NWSL have to do to get these players out of college and into the pros?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I would say, looking at this draft, it's true that many of the most exciting players coming up are not actually seniors. We have some juniors, even some sophomores that are you know, the rising stars of the sport. And I think the greatest blow, honestly, at this point, was the fact that there was no expansion this year. Because, yes, there are teams that need players, but you're always going to see, I think, less rotation and less room when you don't have that expansion. And so it'll be interesting to see how players are able to maneuver their way into that kind of sort of pressure cooker situation with still just nine teams for 2020. And then I just also think that we're at a point still where, when it comes to value for a number of these players, a college degree might be equally as valuable at this moment as getting that jump into the NWSL. Tierna Davidson famously was the first non-senior to enter the draft last year, but she did that because she wanted to go to the World Cup, and there was a reason for her to do that. that is a little bit different, certainly for someone like Katerina Macario, who isn't eligible to play for the U.S. until 2023. And she's also not eligible for the new allocation money standards. So I think that I just think that the draft encourages parity in the league. It also encourages strategic moves for teams that don't necessarily have the largest budget in the world. But at this moment, for some of these players, I'm not sure what the incentive is to enter early.
Is Castellanos eligible?
She is, yeah. I think so.
Let me ask a follow-up to that. And this is a tough one. Is she worth it?
So that's a very good question, because I would say yes, because this is actually another kind of sector to it, which is talking about marketability and ability to make money outside of just your salary on the field. She's a huge star, and which is why she's had such interest from Europe. She's a good soccer player, and I think she'll do well in her professional career, but she's also the type of player that if an NWSL team is thinking about marketability and easy promotion and just kind of an instilled fan base from all over the world, really, she is that kind of a player. However, it's hard to justify necessarily on the field spending that much money on a rookie, because sometimes rookies in the NWSL don't work out. It's a tough place to play.
I'm going to put my Canadian hat on for a couple questions. I'm up in Canada here. A player that I've been talking about since she was 13 years old, which makes me feel real old to realize she's 21 now. Jessie Fleming, do you think she'll ever end up in the NWSL?
Oh, that's a really good question. I don't think she's going to go into the NWSL next year. I think that there's no reason to, that's such an interesting question, because obviously we've seen some Canadian players have a lot of success in the NWSL. We've also seen some players have some bad experiences. You know, Janine Becky has talked about her experience in the NWSL and feeling like she wasn't valued necessarily. And Canadians have had really good experience over in Europe. And I think that some things would have to change. And I would say that this is just a general statement. I do think that any player that the NWSL has lost, whether it's Sam Kerr or someone like Kadisha Buchanan or who I would anticipate Jessie Fleming, I think that there is a future in the next 5 years where they feel comfortable coming back and like they have similar support here that they do over there. But at this moment, I would say that she has options and has more control over her destiny that I'm not sure why she would do that in the young part of her career. I also thought it was interesting. Kenneth Heiner-Muller has talked about recently that he likes the European schedule. And so I wonder a little bit, too, if even just the Canadian Federation continues just to not reconsider, but reevaluate and think about their relationship with the NWSL and figuring out if they feel that that is still the best place for all of their players.
You said the magic words.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go with the next one. Is I'm wondering what you view, if you could predict for us, what you think Canada's role in this league is going to be moving forward. We're hearing about changes possibility and how the U.S. Federation is going to be involved in the direct day-to-day with this league in the near future. So is the allocation process going to continue while we still continue to see Canada having an active role in paying its top players for this league?
I think Canada, this editorializing, I think Canada should continue to invest in the NWSL. I covered this league, but I do feel very strongly that it is to its detriment sometime. It is an incredibly fast-paced, competitive league, and it does prepare you for some of the harsh realities of international tournaments, for better or for worse. And I think that you need a mixture. I don't think you need to have all of your players in the NWSL, but I do think that you need to have a good balance, especially you need people with some of that experience playing with and against those U.S. players. And or even just understanding the grueling schedule, the grueling weather conditions, the travel. I do think that that is valuable experience. And my dream, honestly, is that It doesn't necessarily have to be an either or, and that is hard when you do have allocation because people get locked into things. But what I would hope is that Canada would still see value in investing in the NWSL, and whether that comes through allocation status or even just, you know, general funds for clubs to use. I think that that is important, but I would like to see a more free-flowing market with that a little bit. And I would like to see more players. I would like to see more players who play in the NWSL getting European experience. And I would like to see more players who have mostly been in Europe coming over here and getting that experience as well.
Dwayne mentioned that he's in Toronto. So Claire is in Chicago. I think you're in Chicago right now, aren't you?
Yes.
You're from Chicago. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm in Philadelphia. It's cold weather show this time around. We went to Australia and brought a little bit of warmth last time. This is very much a cold weather show. I've got sort of a list. I mentioned this, I think, a few minutes ago. I started to do a little bit. A list of players who I think under ideal circumstances would be in this league if the league were a little more mature and more established in terms of what would be college underclassmen. And oddly enough, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six of these folks are juniors. Emily Fox at North Carolina, Ashley Sanchez and Viviana Villacorta at UCLA, Madison Haley, Kiki Pickett, and Katarina Macario at Stanford. And that's when, I mean, obviously, you know, a degree from any of those places is going to matter a lot. But that's an awful lot of examples of players who, in more ideal circumstances, would be getting ready to turn professional right now. And I'll throw one other at you, which is Tegan Micah, who I believe is a senior. She's Australian, and I don't see her name on the list yet.
Yeah, Tegan Micah is actually really interesting to me because, yeah, she's a quality player. I think we should all have our eyes on young Australians. There are quite a few who are playing in the W League right now who didn't go through the college system, so they wouldn't be eligible for draft. They would be discovery players. But keeping eyes on, not unlike Canada, I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Australian Federation views the NWSL in the next couple of years. I think I wouldn't be shocked if we saw a little bit of a pendulum swing. We had a lot of Australians in the league in the last couple of years. I think we'll see fewer for a little bit, but I think that that'll balance out eventually. But yeah, Tegan Micah is an interesting one. And this is also, you know, one of the valuable things of the college system is that it gets international players established here and comfortable in this country. And I think that that makes it a little bit easier for them to sort of think about and comprehend starting their career in the NWSL as opposed to Europe or even just mostly playing in the W League.
All right, so last question. If you were the Orlando Pride and you had the number one pick, first of all, I'm not sure I'd envy you, but nonetheless, that's a little snide on my part. I should be nicer in the new year, Claire, shouldn't I?
Yeah, we all should, huh?
If you were the Orlando Pride and you had the number one pick, who would you take? If you let's put it this way, if you had your choice, really, of everybody who ought to be on the board, who would you take?
I think that one of the most exciting young players in the world right now is Katarina Macario. If she decided that it was time to enter the draft, I think that is someone that she is a smart player. She's athletic. She works. Her work rate is really exceptional. And I think that you base your entire roster around a player like that. And that would be who I would pick, I think, if I, you know, in a perfect world, if I were the Orlando Pride. But also, I just think that, I mean, this is the other thing. I think we're talking about the draft right now. Needs are all very different. Obviously, Chicago has a ton of first-round draft picks. I don't know what's going to happen with those. So I think we're just going to have to see. But yeah, Katarina Macario, I think she's a star. I think that for the next 15 years, we're going to be talking about her.
I'm inclined to agree with you. I really think so. And, you know, the U.S. is lucky that they don't have to wait until 2023 to have really top players. But if you're the Orlando Pride and by way of example, your starting striker is going to miss a chunk of time in 2020. I'd sure try to get her out because it would help a lot. The draft is January 16th, a Thursday, at the United Soccer Coaches Convention in Baltimore. I plan to be there. Claire, I know a lot. Are you going to be there? Are you coming in, or is it just going to be
your colleagues? Not this time. I'll be watching that from home.
Yeah. A lot of your colleagues from Equalizer Soccer will be there. One of the best sites on women's soccer out there, by the way. It has been for a very long time. Claire, tell the people how they can follow you in soccer and perhaps even beyond.
Yeah. Again, you can find my work at Equalizer. During the season, I do a lot of coverage, obviously, of the Chicago Red Stars because I'm on the ground there. You can just follow me on Twitter. That's where all of that is. That's at Scout Ripley, which is, it's the name of my musical project as well. But, yeah, just follow me on Twitter. Have some exciting stuff planned for 2020.
Claire, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Women's Soccer Review Podcast. We wish you all a happy new year, all the best for 2020, and especially a great soccer. Jonathan and Dwayne will be back before you know it. And until then, we'll see you in a fortnight.